Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome back to the quest for 10,000. In this episode, Brian and I continue the journey by previewing and then reviewing DC's latest effort to build a cinematic universe, The Suicide Squad. Is this film finally the one that gives life to the DC film franchise? Or is it dead on arrival? Journey with us to see what we think. And remember, you can always join the quest and the conversation by going to @10K, T-E-N-K, movies on Twitter, or 10kmovies.com. So, Brian, Suicide Squad, it's fair to say, is the DC movie you have seen in our conversations to be looking most forward to. Early reviews are in, and we're going to see it soon. Do you still feel that way?
Well, I mean, I have been down on the DCU in general. This is just what I thought was maybe their best chance to kind of kick it into high gear. I was intrigued by Jared Leto's Joker performance, thought it was a chance to be something different, something that we had not seen before. And by all accounts, I will like Margot Robbie and not much else.
Well, and of course, I was on record early saying that Will Smith and his accent for Deadshot not going to be good.
Well, I feel like, too, it was really a mistake to put this movie second. It's just too early to have everybody cheering for a group of bad guys, A, without having films that establish that they are bad guys. Like, right. It feels like they skipped a whole lot of beats to get here. And now it feels like the studio is in full-fledged panic mode and is trying to salvage something and throwing things in the movie, like the Flash cameo. I don't think that was originally in the film. I'm not sure if that, I think from what I can tell, Batman's role was expanded in the film in an attempt to try to cobble something together that just wasn't there organically.
I probably can agree with you. At this point, most of us seen the report about just the behind the scenes chaos.
Mm-hmm.
With the movie. Most of the headlines for reviews have said it's a bit of a mess, but we're trying to filter all of that out. Keep an open mind. And let's just say, what are some predictions for the movie? We've done this with most of our preview reviews. So what might be three predictions we each have for Suicide Squad?
Okay. Margot Robbie will be she's a breakout star. I mean, that's we will all praise her performance after we come out of the film.
Okay, so that's the first one. My first prediction, somewhat similar. The only two characters that are part of the Suicide Squad that will make it out alive of this movie is Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, and Deadshot Will Smith.
So you don't
die.
You don't. You think that Killer Croc is dead, Boomerang yes. dead.
Yes.
Joker is dead.
Joker looks like he's more the antagonist than actually part of the squad.
From what I can tell,
I don't know that I'd put Amanda Waller in there either.
It's Enchantress is the antagonist.
Yeah, but that's what Jared Leto's right there too.
From what I can tell, Enchantress is number one.
Well, anyways, still of the Suicide Squaddies, we'll call them. I predict only two are going to make it out alive.
Squaddies, I like the Squaddies. So only two, and you're saying it's the people that were in that Confidence movie together.
You reviewed a couple episodes. Focus
is the only two that make it out.
All right. What's your prediction number two?
I think that when I leave the film, I will. My biggest pet peeve would be how underused Viola Davis was in the movie.
And she does play Amanda Waller, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna be disappointed that she couldn't, because I think she is always in this situation where she's just not quite getting the respect she deserves, and she's always coming close, and then something happens like that just pulls it back, and she never quite can get over that hump.
Okay, and my second prediction would be Jared Leto is going to go down as the most entertaining thing in the film.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a ballsy prediction. Yeah. That's real ballsy. I think his performance, I mean, from the moment the first stills came of him wearing the grills and the tattoos and just the full-on, we were getting psychotic Joker for the first time, you know, full-fledged crazy Joker for the first time in you know, because even Heath Ledger's was crazy, but he wasn't quite as frightening as he could have been. This is full-fledged, you know, scary Joker. While we were talking about Jared Leto and the Joker, who's your favorite Joker? Who's the best?
My prediction almost was that we'd be saying Jared Leto is at worst the second best Joker.
So who's one then?
Well, I do have a soft spot for mustachioed Cesar Romero.
Really?
Yeah, it's a soft spot, you know. Your first Joker, you never forget.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say Mark Hamill?
Yeah, that's the cheat that all the true comic. That's like the tell that you're a comic book fan when you go, oh, Mark Hamill, you know.
I still think that Heath Ledger, I probably have to go with him. He seems to have influenced most of the comic book canon since he did it. And he probably drew maybe a little bit more than Jack Nicholson did.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though.
So did that whole series, maybe more than the Burton did.
I too have a soft spot for the 66 Batman series because I watched that movie a number of times as a child. But I have an equally large soft spot for Nicholson and Burton's Batman. I think it holds up well. I know a lot of people have turned on it. And I think some of that is because they've turned on Burton, especially post Alice in Wonderland. I think people started, it's kind of like the curtain was pulled back and you could see the wizard behind the curtain and you were like, ah, I don't think. And so we've retroactively sort of assigned this sort of antagonism towards his previous films that I don't think was there beforehand. And I like Batman, and I actually like Batman Returns, although I think I'm more and more in the minority on that one. But I thought that Joker was really well done for that universe and that world.
Well, you know, some people say Joker is the best Joker is actually Jim Carrey as the Riddler in Batman. That's a whole other conversation entirely. What's your third prediction for Suicide Squad?
Well, let's see. That Killer Croc will probably have less than 10 lines in the movie.
Wow, you're really going on a limb there.
I don't think that character is even. I really don't understand. After the movie, I think we're going to. Part of what you said, I'm going to play with part of that. We're going to remember three characters from this movie. We're going to remember Harley Quinn, Joker, and Deadshot, and that's it. The rest of it's going to be just a big blur.
My prediction after seeing this movie, my third one, is that after seeing this, we might be a little bit kinder as to the quality of film that Batman v Superman was.
So you think out of the gate, you think Batman and Superman is probably already better than this?
I feel a little bit like that, although I've been more pessimistic in general about this movie than you've been. And actually, the thought that has come to me, if I can expand a little bit on that thought, Michelangelo had a quote, stick with me, that when he was sculpting one of his masterpieces, they asked, well, how did you do it? And he said, well, the statue was screaming out to me in this block of marble, and I just had to chisel it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so my feeling is probably actually going to see this movie is that some sort of good movie is going to be screaming to get out of this.
Yeah.
The problem is the directors and the producers are not Michelangelo.
Well,
or even John Favreau.
Well, I think two things. I think one, the overnight, the Thursday night midnight screening set a record for August. I mean, it's $20 million. So it did really well. And I think that what that tells us is, this is my guess, this is just me kind of speculating, reading the tea leaves here. I don't think you can overestimate how popular and how big a draw the Joker is. Everybody loves the Joker. What I think DC screwed up is I think they underestimated how big a character the Joker should be in this movie. I think people are going to leave disappointed that the thing they wanted to go see was not there.
So that's sort of 3A, 3B.
Yeah, I mean, because I think, because, you know, if you're watching the movie, I think the average comic fan probably in those previews recognizes the Joker and pretty much nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. And the average non-comic, just casual film goer, they know who the Joker is. Harley Quinn, maybe they do, maybe they don't. It depends on how familiar they are with the animated series. But other than that, I think the Joker is what people are going to see, if they're going to see it.
Well, with those predictions in tow, Brian and I are going to go out to the lobby, get ourselves some snacks, and then go see Suicide Squad. We'll be back in mere moments for you listeners, but a couple of hours at least for Brian and me. Let you know what predictions came true, and spoiler alert, all the other details of Suicide Squad. We'll be back with you in just a bit. And we are now back from seeing Suicide Squad. Brian, if you could sum up what we just saw in one word, what would it be?
Comic booky. That's the word. That's two words. But that's what we were saying on the way out, was that it was the most authentic comic book experience film that we've seen in a long time. Maybe in a way, the most authentic since Spider-Man 2, maybe?
Yeah, I would agree with that, definitely. It seemed very true to some of the source material. I know you haven't read those comics necessarily, but I felt that first, just to dive right in, my first takeaway for this film was I enjoyed Leto's performance as the Joker, although I'm not sure I enjoyed totally the place he had in the film. But separating that overall with his role, I really enjoyed his Joker. I don't think I saw enough of it to say better, worse, but very different. And in some senses, and again, very much much more comic booky than even perhaps the, Nicholson or
even
Ledger.
Even the color palette of the film felt more like comic book. It shied away from... It was dark in places, but it seemed overall they opened it up to more colors than what we have been used to, especially from DC films. So I like that. It felt weird because it was the first. I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say it's the first comic book movie since we've had this post Marvel wave of movies that feels like it was all about. There was no hero. There were no good guys that we were supposed to root for in this movie.
Yeah,
and they didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah, and we should probably say from here on out, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. What I'd like to do is let's kind of review what some of our predictions were.
Okay.
And say how just horribly wrong those all were. I predicted that that Leto's performance would be the main thing we'd be talking about. I don't think that's going to be it, that piece of conversation notwithstanding. I also predicted everybody would die except for Will Smith and Margot Robbie. That also didn't happen.
Except for Diablo, apparently.
Well, yeah, El Diablo.
The devil died.
Devil died.
Devil sacrificed.
And then I think I also said that I thought we'd be coming back a little bit thinking there was a better movie somewhere
in there. I think if you had trimmed some of the fat, because we were talking about this too, that the beginning of the movie is real clunky because they do like a brief intro and then they more or less redo the intro they just did. Of the two, I prefer the second intro to the first. but it's still, it feels like we're retreading the same ground we just went over.
There was a lot of exposition in this movie, and I agree even with that. There was some tighter editing, probably in most movies you can say that about, that might have made it better. But I don't know, even with that, if it would have been much, much better. I almost feel like it got at least 90% of the way to the best it could be.
Yeah, I agree with it. It couldn't have been a lot better, but you could have tightened things up a bit, and I think you could have excised the majority of the way they used the Joker, and I think it would have been better for that character not to have been so, you know, because... And for the movie itself, which I think was sold heavily on the Joker being a part, and I think audiences may be a little disappointed at his lack of involvement. And sort of it's sort of like a subplot that he's running through, which only muddles the water. Like, I didn't buy, like, Harley Quinn, when he finally does rescue her, and that's what his main goal throughout the film is, to rescue Harley Quinn. Although he abandoned her in the car for Batman to get, so I sort of feel like she's there because of you. But when he finally rescued her, she chose to go off with him, okay? And then their helicopter crashes, and she bails. Then she suddenly decides that she has these, like, attachment to who she just met.
It's sort of the same thing we said about Batman and Superman. There were some emotional connections they tried to make, and they just didn't altogether feel quite earned some ways. And again, you're right. Maybe if they trimmed some of the exposition, one of the introductions to the characters, they would have had time to build
that.
They
could have had the Joker and her prior to her being in prison, but not had that thing where he is trying to save her, or him rescuing her, and just have her on her own become attached to this group of people.
I do think it would have been maybe more effective if they hadn't shown the Joker in real time. Part of that subplot is that Harley has a lot of flashbacks to her origin, and to have the Joker there, great, but not really have him show up in real time until, as he does in the very end, when he breaks her out of jail. That might have been a more effective use. I want to talk, though, for a second. One of the things that we've talked about before, and even thought, you know, if this movie doesn't do well, the person it can most negatively affect is Will Smith. I think Will Smith was the Will Smith of old in this film. He really did a great job. And really, his character provides the emotional centerpiece of the whole thing, I would say.
Well, I would like to say, too, like, as far as future movies go, presumably Joker broke Harley Quinn out so they can have either, they'll be a part of Suicide Squad 2, or they would have their own film, the two of them, okay? And at this point, because of the way they have done it now, where you've had one movie where Batman was the hero and one movie where Harley Quinn was part of the heroic group, if you have another film that is Joker and Harley Quinn versus Batman, audiences are not going to be confused about which side they're supposed to be on. And it's going to be very difficult to try to sell me that I want Batman to catch them? I'm not sure I do. And that's a very interesting place for audiences to be at, which down the line. And that provides me with some hope for the future. The other characters outside of Deadshot and Harley Quinn, those characters were, for the most part, handled okay, but they were peripheral. I mean, they were not given any... They tried to, you know, we joked briefly about the fate of Slipknot, which was, you know, it was weird because they kept showing, you could see his character in the pictures of the people that she was lining up, you know. So you said, well, who's the other one? Then he shows up and he immediately gets killed. And they did that to add some, like, gravitas and some danger and some real depth to what these characters were going through, but it just didn't fly. Boomerang was a dud.
He was supposed to be, again, some comic relief, but yeah, but very two-dimensional. Very two-dimensional. There's this part with him with his unicorn that was supposed to add some depth to his character.
It just came off as weird and creepy.
Again, some threads not connected. One of the big threads, this might be a minor thing too that was not connected, is at the beginning there's this guard at Blackgate, like the main guard. And you're wanting him to get his comeuppance, at the end, just because he's kind of that stereotypical.
Yeah.
You know, he's the good guy because he's the prison guard, but he's got, you know, he might be worse than the inmates.
Yeah. And he's on the take. From the
and there's even a point where it like Harley says, "Oh, you're dead to him," but nothing happens to him. He doesn't appear again in the film after that, and that felt like a little bit of a lost thread in there. And then I will say this. The biggest I think misfire though is at the end, and I think it goes back to the problem that you were talking about, is who is the hero here? Who are we supposed to root for? They make the last part just this so epic thing. It's all slow motion. It's very Zack Snyder-esque in some ways, and it just doesn't work. I found myself taken way out of the film at that point.
Yeah.
Because that was also maybe the least comic booky type of thing about the whole thing. And it didn't fit the tone of any part of the character. So this whole, this epic, I'm going to shoot. And maybe it was just to give Will Smith a heroic moment.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was not good.
I like Viola Davis. Like her a good bit. And I'm pumped that she's in a movie of this magnitude. But and the way they set up Amanda Waller, she's like, in a way, they're sort of setting her up to be the Nick Fury of this universe in a way, kind of the thread that holds these different groups together, but only bizarro Nick Fury. Like, she's not, you know, she's unequivocally evil in a way. But the big, I mean, you knew she was bad, you knew she was willing to do whatever, but the big sort of, like, moment in the film where they come to unwittingly rescue her, and then they get there, and then she immediately, like, just assassinates the crew that was working for her. That just seemed out of nowhere and felt really, really weird. Like, I know she's evil, but did you have to... It just didn't play right to me. Like, all of a sudden, she just mows down the people in this room who've been working for her. That was really problematic for me, that scene was. It just didn't set right with me. And we talked about it, too. Her ability to keep top-secret information is poor.
That's right. Top-secret, just in a binder...
labeled top secret.
Apparently, the love of Rick Flagg and the Enchantress was top secret.
What did you think of the Enchantress as the villain or villainess? Or
I don't know. I felt kind of ambivalent about it in a way because we didn't have much of a connection to the sort of the tragedy of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just kind of there. It seemed like the movie was more about how are these dangerous, evil people going to work together? Are they going to be able to do something that, to quote Will Smith, they're not a piece of crap to their daughters? You know, it seemed more about that. The villain almost felt superfluous to the whole deal. But there again, that's sometimes with comic books too. It's not the villain so much; it's the dynamics that you are looking at, relationships between characters, those sorts of things. I think there's some things the movie did well. I really do. Will Smith was good. Margot Robbie was good.
It was
a solid movie. It's still not the home run that DC kind of needs to really build a lot of buzz.
I will say this: Leto's performance as Joker is not. It's not Pantheon Joker. It's not Heath Ledger. It's not even Jack Nicholson yet. But it has potential. And if he is given a movie to spread his wings as the Joker, as that character, whether it be with Harley or against Batman, you do have hope that he could build on this performance into something truly memorable.
And again,
but it just wasn't there enough.
It seems a more sustainable portrayal. Perhaps,
it does seem like a performance that you could pop back up in multiple films. The way Heath Ledger performed the Joker, it's almost like he flamed so brightly, it would have been impossible to recreate that again, even if he had not been deceased.
Right. What else? Let's do one more thing, just to end on a positive note. What did you enjoy most about the film?
Overall, I would say I enjoyed that it was, you know, I had read the reviews, I read the kind of momentum, and it seemed that the movie was really getting trashed, and I was my most enjoyable thing was it is not nearly as bad as I thought it could be. And that seems like damning with faint praise, but I had, you know, I was really starting to get nervous that it was Fantastic Four level of just, what the hell are you doing? But instead, you know, and it's not a great movie. It's not. But it's a good movie. And it's a decent one. The one, I will say, I was a little surprised, though, that how many of the jokes seemed really forced and fell flat in the audience we were with. There were obvious lines that they were building to where you thought, I think they thought we were all supposed to be laughing here, and it was just not there. That was a little...
Yeah, that was a little off. I'll say, I agree with everything you said. My favorite, though, part of this whole movie-going experience may have been as we were walking out, and father was telling his teenage son, he thought it was a good movie, but he liked Nine Lives, the Kevin Spacey cat movie, more.
Yeah.
So, damning with faint praise.
Well, that's damning with damnation.
That's praising with loud damnation, yeah, perhaps.
Oh, my gosh.
So, there you have it. Some people's eyes, not quite as good as Nine Lives, but still a good movie.
Yeah. Can you, a lot of things are not as good as Nine Lives.
Can you get much better than that? Well, DC, again, probably Brian and I liken it a little bit more than most of the critics that you will read do. Listeners, we think you should go check it out. Tell us what you think. Again, you can have a conversation with us on Twitter at 10kmovies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. We hope that you'll tell us what you think, and maybe, too, where does DC go from here? Next time we are together, it is going to be the start of football season. So Brian and I are working on a project that is special to us for our next episode.
And if the rest of you don't like it, that's okay. It's one episode.
One episode where we might get a little bit more away from your traditional kind of movie reviews and that sort of thing. But until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.